Exodus chapter number 8. Let me turn to Exodus chapter number 8. And we are continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land, in which we are learning about God's relationship and dealings with his people. And last week we were challenged, don't wait till tomorrow. And all Egypt was knee deep in a plague of frogs. And I don't know, that's just a weird thought to me, but frogs everywhere. And Moses gave Pharaoh the opportunity to put the timeline down. Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs to go away? When do you want them to disappear? And we said that the smart decision, the smart thing to say would have been right now. Yeah. Get rid of them today. I've had enough of them. Let them go right now. But Pharaoh responds, whatever he says, when do you want them to leave? And he says, tomorrow. Let's give it another day, one more night of torture, and then let it go. And we put off a lot of things until tomorrow. We like to procrastinate. And I say we, I mean me. But anyway, we like to procrastinate. We like to put things off. But I gave you four things last week not to put off. Okay? Some things just are not things that you can procrastinate on. And the first one I said was, don't put off getting help till tomorrow. Because we have access to God, we are invited to come boldly to his throne of grace and receive grace to help in the time of need. We are told to cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And so we need to cast our cares upon him when they become cares. We need to do it early, right? Don't wait until it becomes unbearable. Go and get help from him whenever it becomes a problem, when it becomes a burden. And also, he's given us the family of God to rely on. We don't come together to impress each other. We come together to edify and to help one another. And so it does us no good to put off getting help. It does no good to put off these things whenever it's available to us. The second thing is, don't put off getting right. Okay? And we have times whenever sin comes between us and God, and we put off confessing it. We put off doing anything about it. As the song that she just sung said, you know, we've got these things that are hidden that we're trying to keep away from God, whenever really, if we would just confess them, forsake them, that God would be able to heal us and cleanse us from it. But instead, we just keep hoarding them up. We just continue keeping them around. We'll eventually take care of it, but not today, maybe tomorrow. Or even in our relationships with one another, we'll allow there to be conflict and bad blood between us. And it continues to go on and on and on, and we don't get it right whenever really what we need to do is go to that person and get it right sooner rather than later. Okay. Third thing that we said was we don't need to put off getting involved until tomorrow. Something that a lot of people will do is they're looking for convenience. They're looking for ease. I'm so busy. My schedule is so full. Maybe later. Later, I will get involved in ministry. Later, I will be a witness to my neighbor. Later, I will get serious about reading my Bible. Later, I will get serious about my walk with God, right? And we set out milestones when the kids are grown or whenever this season passes or whatever, but we don't need to put off getting involved in the work of God. And then the last thing that we said is don't put off getting saved. If you're not saved, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. I've talked to a lot of people that wish they'd gotten saved sooner, but I've never talked to anyone who got saved and said, I should have put it off a little longer. I did it too soon. And so today we're going to be, again, taking a look at Pharaoh's reactions to God's actions. And he proves to be a stubborn case as plague after plague devastates the land. And we look at him and we think, man, he is stubborn, right? How foolish it is for God to just basically be releasing all this devastation, kind of putting hell on earth, if you will. And Pharaoh's just like, nope, I'm not giving in. I'm not surrendering. Not till it gets worse. Not till it gets worse. And he keeps putting it off. And so we think, as we look at this situation, about how foolish it is for Pharaoh not to be able to admit when he's been beat. Right? It's like, obviously, you're not going to win this one. Why don't you just give in? But are we not a lot of times the same as Pharaoh whenever we realize that we're never going to win, but we continue to resist? We continue to refuse to submit. We're continuing to go in the wrong direction, but we're not going to give up. We're a lot the same way. But you don't have to worry. I'm not going to be comparing us to Pharaoh again today. We did that last week, didn't we? Mm-hmm. In the greater application of this story, Pharaoh is a picture of the devil trying to keep us, Israel, in bondage to sin, Egypt, right? And so we can kind of see that as an allegory that unfolds. And see, as God is delivering Israel out of Egypt, they go through the blood, they pass through the water, they go through the wilderness, and during that time it is them being cleansed, them getting to know God, them growing in their walk and their faith with God. And finally, they get into the promised land, which is the victorious Christian life. It's not heaven. It's victorious Christian life. If the promised land of Canaan was heaven, I would have some questions for God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's still giants there to defeat. There's still enemies there. There's still a lot of problems there. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of work to be done to get it. That's not heaven. But that's the victorious Christian life. That is the life of God's provision and the place that he has for us. And so we see this all as somewhat of an allegory, as a good illustration for what God has for us. And so let's look at Exodus chapter 8. We're going to read just a few verses here to get started. We'll see a few different passages before we're done. But in Exodus chapter 8, verse number 25, it says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses said, 'It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you once again for this time that we've had. Lord, we thank you for your word that's before us, Lord, for the truth that it contains. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just give me clarity, Lord, as I seek to preach this message. Lord, just recall to my mind the things that we've studied and prepared. And I just pray that you'd be with each person here, that you would prepare their hearts, Lord, that you would do the work that's needed in each and every one of us, Lord. We desire, Lord, that we may grow, that we may increase in our walk with you and our faith in you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd mold and shape us into your image. I pray if there's anyone here that don't know you as their Savior, that this very day would be the day that they would put their faith and trust in you, that they would have their sins paid by your blood, and Lord, that their eternity secured through you, Lord. And we just pray, ask you, Lord, that you would help this church, that we could be a light and a witness in this place you've put us in. Lord, we do love you and we praise you. And we're so thankful for all that you do. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to do business with someone who was a horrible negotiator? Probably all dealt with that. And I'm not talking about someone who doesn't negotiate. It's just like, okay, here's asking price. But someone who tries to do so in a way that's almost insulting. You all know that I've dealt with a lot of buying and selling cars and different things and Facebook Marketplace and that kind of thing. And every time that I went to sell a car, there's a few people that will contact me and offer me like half of what I'm asking. Or they will want to trade something that I have no interest in whatsoever. Okay, you know, time wasters, they often call them, right? Or Les has tried to do a lot of things like selling on Vinted and Marketplace and whatnot. And there is always people who are going to like offer you half of what you have it priced at and then want you to deliver it for them.
Yeah.
You know, she's just tried to sell like some toys or baby clothes or whatever. And it's like, I've got this price at 10 euro. And they say, I'll give you $3 if you'll meet me in town with it. And we're like, we'll put it in the bin before we do that. Right. And so we've all dealt with people that's like that. Right. And so in our passage today, Pharaoh is wanting relief. Okay. He has faced the blood, the frogs, the lice, and now the flies. Okay. If you go through and read about all these different plagues, and by the way, this, I don't believe it was in rapid succession. This wasn't a week. This was protracted over months, more than likely. Okay. Or several weeks at least. And so Pharaoh's getting beat down with it. And he's like, okay, I want relief, but I don't want what it's going to cost me. I'm not ready to pay the full price yet. And so he called Moses in and he offers a compromise. Go ahead and worship your God if you must, but do it in the land. Do it in Egypt. But God had specifically said, let my people go, not let them stay. Let them go that they may serve me. It wasn't anywhere close to what God had commanded, so no deal, right? Mm-hmm. He kind of came in and he lowballed them.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, I believe that this story nexus we can use as an allegory to illustrate how God frees us from our bondage to sin. He leads us to grow in our walk with him, our relationship with him, and he gives us victory, the promised land, right? This is what he has for us. He has a place. He has something he wants to do in our lives, and the enemy is going to continue coming in and offering us compromises,
yeah.
Wanting us to not go all the way. He's wanting us to settle for something less than what God has for us, and that's what Satan is trying to do. That's what Pharaoh is trying to do. He says, okay, I know God says, leave the land and follow me, but how about you just stay right here? Right? I'll give you a compromise. And so Satan doesn't want to let us go. He won't do it without a fight. So as I said, he offers compromise. He makes deals, all of which are terrible. But many believers fall for them.
Yeah.
Many believers choose some of these bad deals, right?
Yes.
I know there's been a few times that I was selling things and it's like, okay, people are continuing to offer me these bad deals and I'm tempted to just take the deal so I can quit dealing with it.
Yeah.
It's like it's not worth the hassle. I'm just going to go ahead and give in. And I guess that's kind of the way that Pharaoh was hoping that Israel would be like, okay, I'll take the easy way out. Okay, I know God said this, but I'm just going to settle for this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is what we have to watch out in our lives. We know what God wants for us. We know what God has said in his word. But what if we're just satisfied with a compromise?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to look at these things, these temptations to compromise that we have laid out in the book of Exodus so that we can take notes and not fall for them in our lives so that we don't become compromising Christians.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one that we just read about a moment ago, the first compromise that Pharaoh offered, the first compromise that is extended to us is just stay in the land. Just stay in the land. Okay? God told Israel he wanted them free from bondage. He wanted them to know him. He wanted the world to know him through them, right? He wanted to change them and to make them into a great nation. And you know what? He couldn't do that in Egypt.
Right.
Egypt had its place. Egypt had its time. God used Egypt as somewhat of an incubator. They provided protection for the nation of Israel to where they could grow from a family to a nation. But then it was time for them to leave. God had promised Abraham, your descendants are going to come. They're going to possess this land. They're going to be a great nation. And through this nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is the one that the Messiah is going to come through. This is the one that I'm going to bring salvation through. And if they stay in Egypt, that's not going to happen. Right? And so they had to leave Egypt for all the things that God was promising them. But Pharaoh said, okay, serve God if you must, but just do it here. Just do it in Egypt. And as I said, this is a compromise many of us fall for today. God wants to make all things new. He wants to transform our life. He wants to give us a new direction, a new destination, a new purpose. But that sounds pretty daunting to someone who's lived their entire life in Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we are constantly surrounded by this world, whenever we're constantly surrounded by all these old habits and these old routines, to become what God would have us to be, for him to make all things new, for him to recreate us, for him to transform us, that seems like a lot. So God, can't we just kind of stay as we are? Can't we just stay here in Egypt? Not if you want to become what God has for you. Not if you want to experience the thing that he has for you to experience. And so for this, the temptation is just to add Christianity into what you already are. Christianity just becomes an add-on to the rest of your life. It just becomes another ingredient, another aspect in your life. God isn't the most important. He isn't the forefront. He's just something else that you do along with everything that you've always done. This is the temptation that a lot of people fall into whenever they get religion, right? It's like, yeah, okay, well, I know I probably should do something about God. I should do something about religion. So I'm going to add him into my life, but I'm going to continue doing everything that I've already done. There's plenty of people who have gotten religious, but they've never actually gotten saved.
Right.
They've bought into this lie. They have decided to serve God in Egypt. I'm not going to become a Christian. I'm just going to become religious, right? Or maybe they do get saved, but nothing changes, right? They get saved, but they still do the same things. They still go the same places. They still run with the same crowd. They still speak the same language. They still do the exact same things they always have done, but they just add a little bit of religion on top of it. They just sprinkle a little God in. And that's the temptation that we have. And so if you try to keep one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord, there's going to be no growth. There's going to be no deliverance. There's going to be no change.
Yeah.
There's going to be bondage.
Right.
There's going to be defeat.
Yeah.
And so Moses tells Pharaoh, it's not possible to worship God in Egypt. He says, we're going to go and we're going to offer up the abomination of the Egyptians. The Egyptians did not like sheep. They did not like shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We kind of think of, you know, all of the agricultural world at that time, that sheep were like the central point of everything, right? But the Egyptians didn't like sheep. They didn't sacrifice sheep. It would be about like a pagan sacrificing a pig in Israel, right? Because the pig was the abomination to them. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about here? And he says, if we do this, if we come and we sacrifice these sheep, if we worship God the way that God says to be worshiped, we are going to offend all of the Egyptians and they're going to end up killing us. And so we're actually thinking about the Egyptians here. And if we're going to worship God the way that God wants to be worshiped, we need to leave Egypt to do so.
Yeah.
And so God's way is not compatible with Egypt. If you truly serve God, this world's crowd is not going to want you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you serve God the way that God wants to be served, you are not going to mix well with this world.
Yeah.
You're not going to be embraced by this world. You're not going to be loved and celebrated by this world. You're not going to be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says here, if we worship God the way that God needs to be worshiped, Egypt is going to be quite mad at us. The Egyptians are going to kill us. Because our worship of God is not compatible with your worship in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tightrope for us to walk. And a lot of people try to do this. We try to walk right on the border.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep one foot there, one foot. But here's the thing. You can't. It's not a tightrope that you walk.
Right.
It's not a fence that you can straddle. Instead, it is a vast canyon between God's way and the world's way.
Right.
There is an ocean in between God and this world. And if you want to keep one foot on this side and one foot on this side, you can't do that. Too far apart. And so you have to pick a side. Israel was warned not to leave the Canaanites in the land because they would corrupt them. They'd become a stumbling block to them. And they left the Canaanites in the land and they corrupted them and become a stumbling block to them. Right? They said, hey, we can get along with them. We can leave them here. We can coexist peacefully, side by side. How's that working with Israel and Palestine? I won't get political. Anyway, in the New Testament, we're warned not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We often just take that and apply that to marriage. But it doesn't say just marriage. It says don't be unequally yoked. Don't be connected, joined together with those who are walking contrary to God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to be on the same page. You have to be going in the same direction. And Egypt and Israel weren't going in the same direction. They couldn't get to God through Egypt. And they said, we have to leave. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love one and hate the other, or he'll cling fast to one and despise the other. And so if you are trying to stay in the world and then still serve God, then it's not going to work. And there's going to be a tug of war there. And honestly, what usually happens is if you're trying to please God and please the world, you're going to forget God and you're going to fall right back headlong into the world. And really, that's what Pharaoh wanted.
Right.
He says, you stay here, this will blow over, this will pass over, things will get right back to normal, we'll still be able to control, they'll still be in bondage, they'll still be ours. Paul commanded in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. There needs to be a line drawn. There needs to be a boundary that's not crossed. Come out from among them and be separate.
Mm-hmm.
We're going in completely different directions. We're serving different gods. We have different priorities. We can't be yoked together. We can't be connected. We can't worship God in Egypt.
Right.
The term worldly Christian is an oxymoron. You guys realize that? Worldly Christian is an oxymoron because the world is nothing like Christ and Christ is nothing like the world. So to put those two things together, they don't mix. But Satan says, you can serve God in Egypt. You can be in the world and still be a Christian. And so the compromise is for the sinner to get churchy, right? Or for the saint to be worldly. And neither of them is going to work. Second thing that we find down in chapter 8 and verse 28, just one more verse beyond what we read. Paul said, hey, we've got to go out of Egypt. We can't sacrifice the abomination of Egypt here in Egypt. We've got to leave. And so in verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away and treat for me. I'll let you go, but don't go too far. Right? And so after Moses is told how their worship doesn't fit in with Egypt's ways, Pharaoh relents, lets them go. And he says, okay, you can leave, but don't go too far. You can leave, but stay close by. Maintain your connection. Stay close enough where you're identified with us. Stay close enough to where we have a control over you. Stay close enough that you'll still pass as an Egyptian. Right? The world looks at us as believers and says, we're okay with you being a Christian. Go ahead and go to church. Go ahead and read your Bible. Do whatever. Sing your little songs and have your little way. But don't go too far. You can be a Christian, but don't be weird about it. Right? It's what the world's trying to convince us of. Don't be weird about it. Don't take it too far. Just be a moderate. Be, you know, mediocre. Bible has a word for that. It's lukewarm. Yeah. Right? Be lukewarm about it. Stay to where you can kind of bridge the gap, where you can still fit in with both, right? Be a chameleon. Is that a good way to put it? Mm-hmm. There's plenty of pressure coming from the world and even from some that call themselves Christians to keep your faith at a reasonable level. Mm-hmm. Don't make anyone uncomfortable, right? Those who are truly separate and they seek to live by godly principles are ridiculed by others. They're excluded from others. Some places consider Bible-believing Christians to be extremists or even terrorists. They're a threat, right? And so the message comes across clear. You can be a Christian, but don't go too far with it. We can go to church. We can avoid the big sins, have enough God to make us feel good about ourselves, but not be so different that we can't fit in at the workplace. We can't fit in our community, that we can't get along with everybody else. And so we still speak the language. We still know what's going on. We're just staying on the fringe, right? Still have all the connections. Know all the pop culture references, right? Still got all these connections, right? A great biblical example of someone who tried this was Lot.
Yeah.
We know the story of Lot. He says, I know Sodom's evil. I know Sodom's wicked. But it's a great place for me to multiply my herds. There's some benefits for me in this. So I think I can stay on the fringe. I'll pitch my tents out there in the plains of Sodom. I won't go into the city. But how long did that last? We read the story. It wasn't too long. He was living not in a tent, but living in a house. Right. Not in the plain, but on Main Street there in the middle of Sodom. Yeah. He was there at the gates. He had insinuated himself in the government. He was a part of Sodom. It's what happens whenever we try to stay right on the fringe is we slip right back in. He didn't stay for long. He was right in the middle of it, and he lost a lot there. So don't fall for the lie that you can be a Christian that doesn't go too far, that you stay close enough to fit in with the world, but also that you can worship the Lord, that you can enjoy all the things of this world, but still have the benefits of Christianity. Pharaoh knew if they didn't go far that they would be right back, and that's what will happen to you. So the compromise is follow Jesus, but don't get too serious. Don't take it too far. Don't become one of those radical Christians, right? The third compromise is over in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. There's a little bit of time that elapses through this, a couple more plagues that come about, And so Pharaoh's willing to do business again. He's open to negotiations. He says, I know you want to leave, and I know God is bringing all these things against me, but I'm not real crazy about you leaving just yet. So can we come up with a compromise? So in chapter 10, verse number 8, it says, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And so here he says, okay, you can go, you can leave the land, you can go out from us, but don't take anyone with you. Don't take anyone with you. See, God, or excuse me, Pharaoh asked Moses, if you go, who's with you? Moses says, we want to take everyone. No one excluded. We want everyone to come with us. Family, kids, neighbors. And Pharaoh says, I'll let you go, not your families. Either be men, not your wife, not your kids, not your flocks, not your herds, none of that. You can have your religion, but keep it to yourself. Make it an individual or a personal thing. Don't bother others with it. We hear that plenty in the world, don't we? Religion's a private matter. Don't bring that into the public square. Don't bring that into your job. Don't bring that to the family reunion. Don't do it around the table at Christmas time, right? In the old saying, the two things off the table is politics and religion.
Yeah.
Keep those private. Don't bring those out. Don't cause drama. Don't cause issues with that. Keep it private. And so don't bother others with it. Don't force it on your kids, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. It's good for you, but leave everybody else alone. Right? Mm-hmm. So that was Pharaoh's idea. You know, the world's becoming more and more hostile with sharing your faith.
Yeah.
Public prayers frowned upon. People have been arrested for street preaching. We've seen that in the news here recently, right? Mm-hmm. For a long time, we had great liberty in sharing the gospel. I'm not saying that this is a new occurrence that there was persecution, because Believe me, it's been a lot worse in times past.
Exactly, yeah.
But we've had a season where there was great liberty, where it was welcome, it was encouraged, and that's about over. Mm-hmm. That's leaving. That doesn't mean that we need to be quiet about it. That's the temptation, right? It's unpopular. People don't want to hear. If you'll just be quiet about it, keep your religion to yourself. Don't talk, you know, enjoy your personal relationship with Jesus, but don't take it to other people. But it's not for us to keep quiet. Because if we truly believe what we claim to, if we truly believe that there is a world who is lost and dying, people who need a Savior, if we truly believe that Jesus died for us, that he saved us, and he's willing to save whosoever will, we can't leave it personal.
Right.
If we realize that our family needs to know, our friends, our neighbors need to know the Jesus that we know, we can't keep it quiet. And so Pharaoh said, leave your kids in Egypt. We'll take good care of them for you. Isn't that the world we live in? You go out, earn your living, live your life, do your thing, and let the world raise your kids. Let the devices raise them. Let the schools raise them. They'll teach them what they need to know. And then look at all the things they're bringing home with them.
Yeah.
See, Satan tells you, hey, you work on your relationship with God, but don't make everybody else around you hear about it. And we kind of get lulled into this. And plenty of families are trusting that everyone else is going to teach their children about God.
Yeah.
You bring your kids to church and say, okay, they're hearing about it in Sunday school. And they will. Are they hearing about it from you?
Yeah.
Are they seeing it in your home? Are they hearing it from your mouth? Because Egypt is not going to raise your children for God.
Right.
The hour a week they're here in Sunday school is not going to make that big of an impact. They need to see it every day.
Right.
Don't keep your walk with God private. Don't keep it personal. People around you need to see it. See that it's real. See that it's legitimate. Your children need to see it. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, everyone around needs to see that what you have is genuine and that it's something that's worth having.
Right.
Take everyone with you. The world is falling apart and they need to see that there is an alternative to Egypt. They need to see there is an alternative to what they are seeing and see that there is a God that loves them, a God that wants to work in them, a God that will change them, transform them, and make a purpose for them. And they need to see it in your life. They need to see that there's something better for better for them than Egypt, and they need someone to tell them about it.
Yes.
The fourth and final compromise that we have here, you'll skip down in chapter 10 to verse 24. It says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. So the fourth compromise that's offered up is God can have you, but not your stuff. God can have you, but not your stuff. You say, well, what does that mean? In this compromise, Pharaoh says, take the people, leave the flocks. Because his hope was that if they left their stuff behind, that they would return for it.
Yep.
Right? If you leave something behind, you're going to come back after it. And so that was his hope. So Moses responded that everything must go because they had no idea of what God would require, and they wanted everything they had to be at God's disposal. They said, we're not leaving anything here because we don't want to take anything off the table. We don't want to keep anything back from God. We want him to have everything available to him. And so the compromise here for us is to compartmentalize. We say, okay, this part is God's. This part is the world's. This part is spiritual. This is material. God can have this. He can't have this. And we keep things separate. It's funny how we kind of compartmentalize our lives and put it to where certain things belong to God, certain things don't. Your job, your possessions, your finances, they have no place in your worship, so you might as well leave them in Egypt, right? That was the idea behind this. And so, as I said, we're good at separating our lives. As I said, God gets his part. He doesn't get that part. Sunday's God's day, right? He can have this day. Can't have that one. That's my day, right? He can have this portion of my income. He can't have that portion. He can have this talent. He can't have that talent. This relationship, this is for God. This is going to glorify God. This one's all for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we compartmentalize. So we say, okay, God, this much is available. You can have this part. Remember the song, I Surrender All?
Yeah.
I think most of the time we sing it as liars.
Probably.
Do you ever sing songs at church that is a lie from the beginning to the end?
Set my soul afire.
Yeah, set my soul afire. Not really, that'd be inconvenient. Right? I think we need to change the words to I Surrender All. Instead, I Surrender Some. I surrender some. Part to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender some. Right? Aren't you glad I didn't sing it? But think about it. Have I surrendered all? Does he have everything? Is everything that I have at his disposal? Or have I marked it off and said, okay, God, you can have this, not that? You know, for a long time, whenever, you know, Les and I just got married, I had a desire to be used of God, okay? I wanted him to use me. I'm like, God, do something with my life. I want to make myself available to you. I will do anything except for preach. God, I'm not a preacher. I can't speak in public. I can't stand in front of people. I can't do that. I'm more than happy to cut grass. I'm more than happy to do maintenance around the church. I'll plunge toilets. I'll clean. I'll do whatever. I don't want to do that. And I was marking off. I'm like, okay, God, you can have everything except for this. I'll do anything except for that. We compartmentalize. We negotiate. We make these deals with God, right? God wasn't going to take all of their flocks.
Right.
He wasn't going to take all their herds.
Right.
He wasn't going to take all their stuff. But they wanted to make all of it available so he could use whatever he wanted.
Exactly.
He needed to be in charge.
Right.
You know, all that we have belongs to God. He's just given it to us to steward.
Yes.
And he has proven that he is more than capable of taking care of our needs.
Yes.
He has proven that he is good. He's not mean to us. He doesn't mistreat us. He's proven himself faithful. And he's also proven that he is worthy.
Yes.
He is worthy of everything. And so Pharaoh says, draw your boundaries, have your limits, take some of these things off the table, because he knows, Satan knows, that if there's a part that he has reserved, if there's a part that you have held back from God, that he still maintains control over you.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh says, you leave your stuff here, you'll be back. You leave your stuff here, you're still in bondage. You leave your stuff here, you're still a slave. You leave your stuff here, you're not going to go anywhere. This is my security. This is my way of keeping control over you. And all those areas that you're withholding from God is keeping you tied into the world, is keeping you tied in to what you've got going on here to keep you from actually serving God, experiencing what God has for you, and for him truly transforming and bringing you to that place of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just carve out these little areas and say, not these things, God. You can have my hour on Sunday, but you can't have fill in the blank. God can take a lot better care of us and our stuff than the devil in the world can.
Exactly.
You realize that?
Yes.
Put it in his hands, say, God, do with it what you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's all at your disposal. And so in all of these things, whenever we compromise, there's the same goal. Don't let them leave. Keep them bound. Keep them defeated. And as long as Egypt has part of you, you're never going to get to the place that God wants you to be. You're never going to grow. You're never going to become the child of God, living in the place, enjoying the stuff that he has for you for your life.
Yeah.
It's limiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Israel could not get to the promised land unless they left Egypt.
Right.
You cannot get to that place of victory as long as you're staying tied to Egypt.
Yeah.
There has to be a separation. There can't be a compromise. God wants to lead you to a place of victory, a place where you're no longer bound by sin, where you're abiding in him, where you're experiencing his care, and you're going to miss out on all that if you compromise. If you stay in Egypt, if you don't go too far, if you keep it to yourself and hold back parts from God, Egypt is going to keep control over you. You're going to stay bound. You're going to stay defeated. But if you want God to truly transform your life, if you want God's will for your life, you have to fully leave Egypt. Separate entirely, follow him completely, trust him with all, and see where he'll lead you. Give your all to him. I surrender all. All. He's not oppressive. He's not vengeful. He's not vindictive. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He says, trust me with your life. Let me make you what I need you to be. Can't do it in Egypt. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we've had in church, Lord. And I know just studying this and thinking about this has been such a just such a burden on me as well, Lord. I know that I'm prone to these things just the same as everyone else, Lord. Lord, we're prone to compromise. We're prone to lack trust, lack faith in you. We try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We try to hang on to things and cling to things and hold back parts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just do a work in our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust you fully and give our all to you. Lord, help us not to fall for these compromises, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we could be fully surrendered to you. And Lord, honestly, I have no idea what is possible, Lord, if we would just truly give our all, just truly give you the proverbial blank check for our lives, Lord. I just pray, help us, Lord, to do so. Lord, help us, Lord, to say goodbye to Egypt. Help us to cut the ties. Help us, Lord, to put it behind us and head straight for the promised land. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. And all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.